Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our guests. Pleasure to have you with us. This morning we're continuing our series on the yamas and niyamas, Hinduism's code of conduct, 20 basic principles, and we're developing this material for use in the field for teachers to use, and so it's in the form of a lesson that takes about 10 minutes to read, and trying to develop what Gurudeva has presented in Living with Shiva. He's given us wonderful material on each of these yamas and niyamas, and so this is trying to develop that and give examples and illustrations and bring in sometimes some points from his other books that aren't included. So today we're up to the eighth niyama of vrata, which is to embrace religious vows, rules and observances, and never waver in fulfilling them. Honor vows as spiritual contracts with your soul, your community, with God, gods, and guru. Take vows to harness the instinctive nature. Fast periodically, pilgrimage yearly. Uphold your vows strictly, be they marriage, monasticism, non-addiction, tithing, loyalty to a lineage, vegetarianism, or non-smoking. All of the niyamas focus on expressing the refined soul qualities within each of us. In the case of vrata, the divine quality we are expressing is becoming a more spiritual person through vowing to the inner worlds, as well as to family and community, to observe certain practices for a specific period of time or for our entire lifetime. Gurudeva describes a vrata as a sacred trust. He says that people make little promises and break them, but that this is not a vrata. A vow is also never only to oneself. A vow is always to God, gods, and guru, community, and respected elders. It is a sacred trust with God, gods, and guru made at a most auspicious time in one's life. Vrata is a binding force, binding the external mind to the soul and the soul to the divine. Gurudeva goes on to say that a vrata is a sacred trust between you and your guardian devas, the devas that surround the temple you most frequent, and the Mahadevas who live within the third world, which you live into in your deep inmost mind, in the radiant self-luminous body of your soul. Let's look first at a very common type of vrata, which is a vow motivated by the desire to achieve a certain outcome in the world. A student has an important test that she has to pass. A businessman faces a deal that he needs to be successful in order to accomplish his expansion plan. A son prays that his mother will recover from her cancer treatments and live many more years. In all these situations, we vow to God or a god such as Lord Ganesha that if the outcome we seek happens, then we will do something such as attend the temple every week, give a sum of money to the temple, or never perform a certain act again. Another common type of vow is making a promise to observe certain religious practices in a strict manner. Often these vratas relate to a specific day of the month or a deity festival. An individual takes a vow to fast on the 13th day of each lunar fortnight, known as Pradosha Vrata, for 1 year. We take a vrata for the 6 days of Skanda Shashti, and then during the day fast and attend puja at the temple and eat only in the evening. The 21-day festival to Lord Ganesha, Vinayaka Vratam, incorporates vrata in the name of the festival itself, and is often observed in the same way as Skanda Shashti, fasting during the day and attending Ganesha Puja, and then eating only at night. For Taipusa, many devotees fast and follow other disciplines for days in advance, and then on the Taipusam day, carry kavadi. Certain pilgrimages also have vratas associated with them. An example is the Sabarimala pilgrimage to Lord Ayyappan. In this case, a vrata is taken covering the restrictions that are followed both during the 41 days prior to the pilgrimage, as well as during the pilgrimage itself, which includes dietary restrictions and the practice of brahmacharya. It is interesting to note that Gurudeva often spoke of pilgrims coming to worship God Shiva at our Sanmarga sanctuary as following a similar strictness to Sabarimala, where they would prepare themselves ahead of time by fasting and other sadhanas. In the four examples given, the vrata is for a fixed period of time and then is over. The Pradosha Vrata example was for 1 year. Skandashashti lasts only 6 days, Vinayaka Vratam 21 days, and Sabarimala until the pilgrimage is completed. The vows mentioned so far are all taken privately by oneself, usually at a temple or in the home shrine room. Another type of vow is taken before family and community. This is for vows that are longer lasting or lasting for a lifetime, where community support is needed to help us live up to our commitments. Examples of a vow with community support is the Brahmacharya Vrata, pledging to maintain virginity until marriage. The Vivaha Vrata, marriage vows, are also taken before community. Taking a vow before family and community is a sacred trust between yourself, your outer self, your inner self, your loved ones, and closest friends. It would be difficult to look them straight in the eye if you yourself know that you have let yourself down, and this helps you hold to the vow during difficult times. Gurudeva describes this as vratas give the strength to withstand the temptations of the instinctive forces that naturally come up as one goes on through life, not to suppress them, but to rechannel them into a lifestyle fully in accord with the yamas and niyamas. A vow that Gurudeva describes as the most obvious and important vow is the Yama and Niyama vow. It can be taken most readily and renewed once a year on a day which you consider your most sacred day, such as Maha Shivaratri, Ganesha Chaturthi, Skandashashti, or Deepavali. The idea is to vow to uphold the Yamas and Niyamas for the coming year to the best of your ability, at least 50%. Then each subsequent year you can increase the percentage until finally it is at 100%. It is important to mention that many people feel that if they don't fulfill their vrata, they have failed. Gurudeva comments on this by saying, the only failure is that experienced by the one who quits and gives up without trying again. The wiser response to failure is to immediately renew the vrata and try again. There are more advanced vows, such as those taken with a guru for a lifetime. Gurudeva established three such vows for his shishya to fulfill: the Shakahara or vegetarian vrata, which governs diet; the Parampara or lineage vrata, which governs spiritual studies; and the Dasamabhaga or tithing vrata, which governs finance. The vegetarian vow builds character through the control of appetite, which is control of the instinctive mind. In other words, as our control of appetite increases, the control over the other instinctive emotions, such as anger and jealousy, also improves. It all moves along together. Shakahara Vrata, of course, starts with avoiding the non-vegetarian foods. It also includes eating a healthy, balanced diet, thus avoiding chemically adulterated foods and minimizing junk foods and even frozen foods. The vow also includes the virtues of Mittahara, moderate appetite, not eating too much, and it includes not eating between meals. The Parampara or lineage vow builds character through control of mental and philosophical ramification, which is control of the intellect. Traditionally, giving all loyalties to a lineage precludes all extraneous training and requires closing off intellectual inroads to other lineages, not reading their books, not taking their courses. This vow harnesses the tendency to jump from teacher to teacher in search of new studies and techniques, rather than staying with one's current study and set of techniques and perfecting it. Gurudeva insightfully describes this vow when he says that it is a total focus demanded of the shishya by the shishya himself, so that learning of one unique path may mature past intellectual states into completely experiential knowing. The tithing vow builds character through control of money, which is the control of desire. Lots of desires are fulfilled by spending money to acquire possessions. As soon as we get our paycheck, we rush out to the store to buy something we just can't live without. After a few months, we stop using it altogether and find something else we just can't live without and buy that. In fulfilling the Dasama Bhagavata, whenever we receive money, the first thing to do is to give 10% of it to God. This practice spiritualizes the remaining 90% and helps us use it wisely. An additional step in fulfilling the Dasama Bhagavata is to develop a household budget and then spend the month's income according to the agreed-upon plan. In conclusion, embrace religious vows, rules, and observances, and never waver in fulfilling them. Honor vows as spiritual contracts with your soul, your community, with God, gods, and Guru. Take vows to harness the instinctive nature. Fast periodically, pilgrimage yearly, uphold your vows strictly, be they marriage, monasticism, non-addiction, tithing, loyalty to a lineage, vegetarianism, or non-smoking. Om Namah Shivaya.